You know, God wants us to have an expectation. He wants us to be expecting and to live a life, a lifestyle of faith. A lifestyle of faith produces a lifestyle of manifestations because faith precedes manifestation. So if you live by faith and not by sight, you will experience a life of manifestations. Amen. And you will not be limited by what, amen, circumstances, common sense, common logic, you know, whatever, amen, people present to you. You won't live that life. The people of God are called to live in another dimension. Someone say another dimension. And that dimension is released to us by faith. And that's what we have to tap into, and that's how we have to learn, and that's how we have to renew our mind to live at this level. Now, I'm not going to try to be long today, but I'm going to present a few accounts here of Jesus talking about the power of believing. The power of believing, because everything is predicated upon your belief. That word belief is pistis, and it's your conviction. You're persuaded. Have you been persuaded? When Jesus said, "Man, do you not believe? Have you not been persuaded? Have you not been convicted that what I've said is true? What I've not demonstrated? Do you not believe in me? Do you not believe I am who I say I am, and I can do what I say I'm going to do? And better yet, are you not convinced that what I can do, you can do also?" So we're just going to kind of open this up a little bit, but then we're going to just increasingly, amen, just really pour into this, because this is part of our growth series. We're going to grow in faith. We're going to grow in faith, and we're going to grow in manifestations. We're going to grow in our lifestyle of faith. We're going to grow in the image of Christ. And it's going to come to the point, amen, where we're looking for somebody sick. We're not running from somebody sick. We're looking for somebody sick. We're looking for a school to take over for the kingdom. We're looking for a region to possess. Amen. We're looking for this. We talked in coffee and conversations. I'm going to have our decree in a moment. We talked in coffee and conversations about being in adversarial places. That was this past Wednesday. We'll have the next coffee and conversation 1 week from this Wednesday. And we talked about being in adversarial places and why would God put us in places that are dark and confused and there's so much animosity. And sometimes the human response is to say, "Lord, get me out of this place." But God says, "What? I put my spirit in you. Why in the world would I get you out of this place? I put you in this place so you can bring my glory." So when you find yourself in a hostile place, amen, you know you're there to change it. You're there to bring reformation. So I ain't trying to stay here. Now, there is times, let me give a disclaimer, there are times that you're in a place you shouldn't be. Amen? But don't be so quick, because it's a hard place, to think it's not God. Because why would God waste all of the experience and all the things you've been through and all the glory and all the anointing and all the word that he put in your life? Amen. Why would he waste you, amen, on a place that doesn't need you? So, Lord, I'm surrounded by crazy people. Amen. That's right. You got the crazy deliverance anointing on your life. That's why you're there. To cast out demons of craziness and lunacy and confusion and division. Because he's invested so much in you. And we've got to believe in that. And we've got to believe in what God wants to do through us, what he wants to do in our life. And let me tell you something, people of God, you've got to stop hanging around people that don't believe in you. Amen. Amen. Yeah. That's right. Get around some people that believe in you. Get around some people that have confidence in you. Get around some people that just don't link you to your past and only see you through the optics. That's perspective. Perspective, amen. The origin word is optics, how people see you. They'll lock you into your past mistakes, just like they did Jesus. So, well, hold up now, hold up. I know that he's doing some great things, but my Lord, ain't that Joseph's son? Isn't that the carpenter? I know his past. I know where he come from. I know where he came from. The Bible says Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. He couldn't do no miracles, just a few common little healings he could do. He had to leave. And he didn't get any honor. Amen. Get around some people that feed your, amen, who you are and see who you are. And don't just see you after flesh, but see the anointing of God on your life. Amen. That's why gin to gin is good ground. Because we pull on the anointing. It's hard to hide up in here. Sometimes people want to go to a church, got 1,000 people, because they want, this is what I want to do. I'm going to go to this church. I'm going to get a message. I'm going to sit down. And then and when it's time to leave, I'm just going to leave. And all is good. And I feel good. I got my word for the week. No demand on what God has called them to. No demand on what God has anointed you to do. No demand on your purpose. No exposure to your gift. You just want to chill in church. That's not the will of God. That's not the will of God. Amen. Step forward. Step forward in the things of God. Dare to believe on another level. This is where we're going. Dare to believe. Next month, we're going to start our faith project, and we'll be on our faith project through the end of the year. Amen. Line by line, scripture by scripture. Amen. Vision by vision. Amen. Laying it all out for 2024, individually, for your family, for this house as a whole. Amen. That faith, putting that faith out there, putting a demand on the word of God, the promises of God. Today, we're just laying the foundation. Then weeks to come, we're going to talk about Jesus the healer, Jesus the deliverer, Jesus the miracle worker. And the thing about it, this what's so great about it, is that Jesus is in you. And we're going to show you that by the word of God. And that all things are possible to those who what? Those that have conviction and persuasion. Those that have been convicted that what Jesus said was true. So Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ. Amen. Somebody say, I can grow. I will grow. I am growing. I'm growing in faith. I'm growing in the knowledge of Jesus. I'm growing in my identity. I'm growing in my purpose. I'm growing in the will of God. I'm growing in my gifts. Amen. My health is growing. In a few weeks, we're going to, maybe another month or so, we're working with someone that's going to be here on Saturdays doing fitness training. Amen. It's time for your health to grow. Amen. Because you can only do what your body allows it to do. When you're tired, amen, I don't care how much anointing and glory you got on your life, amen, when the body says down, you down. Amen. So you want to get your body strong. So if you got to pray for 100 people and prophesy to 100 people, you can go through that 100 people. Amen. And we ain't got to carry you out of here. So we are growing. Amen. Let's put our decree up, and then we're going to go into a couple of scriptures. Amen. Let's read it together. Father, I thank you for the word. As I receive, meditate, and obey your word, I become the word. Then I can do what the word says. I can do what the word says I can do. I can have what your word says I can have, and the power of your word impacts my family for 1,000 generations. We've talked about 1 Peter. We've been on that. We talked about the seed of the word and how it's in us and it is grown. It's ordained to grow. The seed of the word of God is the igniter of our faith. And I'll put all this in the outline next week. And it's the belief in the word is how we are saved. We're saved by grace through faith in the word of God. The seed of the word of God endures forever. Matthew 24:35. The seed of the word is indestructible. It's incapable of being destroyed. That seed will last. Nothing can take it. Nothing can destroy it. Nothing can hinder it. Nothing can block it, because God watches over his word to perform it. Amen. The seed is infallible. The word of God is infallible. It is incapable of teaching error. And the seed of the word of God, amen, is inerrant. Inerrancy is an outgrowth of infallibility. If the Bible is incapable of teaching error, then the Bible does not contain error. Therefore, the Bible is authoritative. The infallibility and inerrancy of the word of God renders it authoritative. So if the word of God says, I'm healed in Jesus' name. Because the word is authoritative. It has the word of God is the last word. Somebody say, the word of God is the last word. Amen. And that word has been planted in our hearts, and it is the living word of God. It is alive. It is active. It is moving. It penetrates. It shapes. It forms. It causes things that be not, amen, as though they were. It creates things in this earthly realm, amen, that could not exist without the word of God. The word of God, amen, it causes things to manifest. It causes shape to come. It causes miracles to come. It causes deliverance to come. It causes peace to come. The word is active. Amen. It is active. And Jesus is that word made flesh. Jesus is the living word. We've got the Bible, which is a written word, but Jesus is the living word. He demonstrates the word. He walks out the word. You want to see how the word looks? Amen. When you're looking at the pages in the Bible, look at Jesus. He's a living word of God. He is the word. He demonstrates the word, moves in the word. Amen. He's the fulfillment of the law. Amen. The whole Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi points to Jesus. He is the fulfillment of it. He's the one that the prophets look to. He's the one that the singers sung about. He's the one that the worshipers worship for the king, the future king that would come. Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. Don't go to sleep on me. Amen. Jesus, he's the one. He's the one Isaiah said, one is coming that's going to be wounded, that's going to be abused, that's going to pay the price, amen, for our peace. He's the one. He's Emmanuel, God with us. When Jesus steps on the scene, he's like, listen, you've seen the Father. We're going to get in these scriptures. I don't have a whole lot of time left. I mean, got started. And Jesus said, when you see me, you seen the Father. Amen. Now, on the level by which you believe what I say and believe what I do will determine the level which you can receive and the level which you can operate at. That's why you got to be in the presence of God. Amen. You got to be where your faith is built up. Amen. Where you begin to see yourselves in Christ and Christ in you. You in Christ and Christ in you. You in Christ and Christ in you. Amen. You in Christ and Christ in you. Amen. You got to see yourself. It was interesting that in the Old Testament, there's 10 commandments, 613 laws. 10 commandments, 613 laws. There are ceremonial laws, civil laws. Amen. Amen. And there is not one chapter on healing or miracles in the Old Testament. Out of 613 laws, there's nothing written. No, where this is how you perform a miracle. This is how you do healing. None of that in the Old Testament. And I kind of knew that, but I thought it was very interesting as I was looking at this, because really the power to heal and do miracles really only came upon men or women of God to authenticate their role. Moses, you're a deliverer of the people. I'm going to see what's in your hand. I'll give you Aaron. Go forth. I'm going to show that I'm with you, Moses, because you're going to do these plagues, these 10 plagues. You're going to open the Red Sea, and my power upon your life is going to authenticate my calling on your life. Deborah was the same way. She was a prophetess. Her calling, her ability authenticated who she was. But it was not prevalent in the masses. The 2 million people that left Egypt, they didn't come out, all of them did not have the gift of healing and working of miracles. It authenticated the leader. But in the New Testament, because they weren't even in the Old Testament, they weren't even, only a few were filled with the Spirit of God. Samson, the Spirit would come on him. David, the Spirit would come on him. God authenticated his role. And that's why people in the Old Testament, let me say this before I get to New Testament, that's why they stood out so much. Because God authenticated their leadership with his anointing. God did not send Samuel, said, go anoint the whole nation. Go anoint all of Israel. No, he said, go ahead and anoint the king. I'm going to work through the king, and the people are going to see my glory through the king. But the whole nation wasn't anointed. Jesus comes, gives us his Spirit, and anoints the whole church. Not just the pastor, but his anointing and his authority rest on every believer. Not just to authenticate a set man or a set woman, but his anointing and his power, hear me, people of God, his anointing and his power rest on every believer. It's different. My God, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, so we can see this. Mark 6. I want to go to Mark 6. No, I won't go to Mark 16. Mark 16. I want to read the verses in context so you can get the background of what's happening here. I'll read it 15 through 20. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany or follow, in other translations, those who believe, pistis, those who have been persuaded in what I've said and what I've done. Amen. In my name, they will drive out demons. Well, what about the deliverance team? It's okay to have deliverance team, but these signs follow. Here's the word follow in the Greek. These signs work side by side of the one who believes. Side by side, just like you can witness to someone, right side by side is a power to heal them. Side by side is a power to drive out the devil. Right there alongside you. These signs shall be side by side, right at your side. That's where I got to preach your skin. See, I'm working. We're going to get your faith there. Side by side. We function like this. Well, Lord, what if you don't heal them? Well, that ain't the man. Everybody you pray for and be healed? Probably not. Maybe not. No. Everybody you pray for ain't going to be healed. Amen. And sometimes it's the sovereignty of God. Sometimes you're praying for somebody, amen, and you don't know the will of God in this. But that don't stop you from believing. Your job is to pray and heal in Jesus' name, side by side. And pray expecting, persuaded that if I pray for you, you're going to be healed. I believe that. I pray for you, you're going to be healed. Not because of my power, but because of Jesus' power. Amen. Look in your role and say, if I pray for you, you're going to be healed. You're going to be healed. You're going to be healed. Because side by side, these signs follow. They work side by side. So let me just move on. These signs accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, and they will speak in new tongues, and they will pick up snakes with their hands. And we ain't talking about snake worship in church. Amen. And when they drink deadly poison, we ain't talking about drinking poison to test the word of God, it would not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Because I told you about a church I know of, amen, to demonstrate their warfare, amen, they would have service and kick over the chairs. Literally kick over chairs. They'd be like, devil, get out, and kick over chairs. I mean, it's a real deal, real church. Amen. We don't kick over chairs in here. And then they had to throw Bibles. I told you about the throw Bibles. The pastor would be preaching. They had these little Bibles, you know, the little Bible, and they'd throw it at the pastor. Amen. Say, that's a good word. We don't throw that. I'll throw it back. We don't throw that up in this church. We don't throw Bibles. This ain't the Drake concert and all that kind of stuff where they're throwing stuff on stage. Now, if you want to place money in an offer basket, you feel free. Amen. After the Lord Jesus spoke to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. And then the disciples went out and preached everywhere because they got the charge. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word. The Lord works with them. Come on, somebody say, the Lord works with me. Amen. The enemy will tell you that God is working against you. God's not working against you. The Lord will work with you. He's your partner. He's your advocate. He's your mediator. The Lord works with you, what? To authenticate or to confirm his word by the signs that accompany it. So God works with you. You give the word, and God said, come on, now you've given a word. Now let's confirm this word with signs. God wants to confirm his word with signs. Why? Because as the Old Testament model was, God authenticated his leader with signs and wonders. David, Moses, Deborah, Esther, he authenticated their role. Why would not God authenticate you as a believer? Who are kings and priests in God. God wants to authenticate you. Why? Because you're giving his word. And there are people that will not see Jesus unless they see him through you. So he wants to show up as the word of God, the healer, the deliverer, through you. So he wants you to preach and he wants you to heal. He wants you to preach. It doesn't have to be this flat platform. He wants you to witness, and he wants you to prophesy. He wants to authenticate his word through you. Through me, Lord? Yeah, through you. You sure, Lord? Yes, through you. He wants to authenticate his word through you. If you'd only believe. I'm not responsible for the healing. I'm not responsible for the deliverance. I'm responsible for believing. I'm responsible to be persuaded enough to step out and do what God said do. Amen. Everybody's on Prime, you know. They all. I watched that game. I had to turn it off. My God. They got, and I said on Facebook, I said, they getting an old school beat down. And he even said, he said it when he in the press conference, he said, we got an old school beat down. They beat us. Amen. But, and he's, you know what he said? He said, people are not playing against my team. They're playing against me because what I stand for. He said, it ain't about these kids. It's about me. Because he'd get out there, I thank God for being, God called me here, amen, the Lord chose me to do this, God sent me here and all that, amen. And don't think all the time when people oppose you, it ain't about you, it's the God in you, man. Them demons don't like the God in you. That's why they hating on you, they don't like the God in you. The Spirit of God in you just disrupts them, amen, turns their stomach when they see you coming. You feel the hate in the room. You think it's about the clothes you wear. Amen. It ain't about your fancy clothes, Sister Yolanda. They just don't like the God in you. I call her fancy. Amen. I'm just messing with it. The shine ain't about your shine. Sometimes it's about the God in you. Amen. They hate on the man. Amen. He already beat last year's record. People want to see you fall. The world, Jesus said this way. He said, the world going to hate you because they hated me. If you're bold enough to step forward in the things I've called you to do, you're not going to be well received. Why is your acceptance a barometer of your call? If they didn't accept Jesus, why are they going to accept you? You're called to those who receive the word of God. And then you're called to demonstrate the word of God, not only in word, but in power. All right. John 7. They're just laying the groundwork here. They took up some of my minutes testifying. I need my minutes back. We thank God for testimonies. I'm not hating on testimony. I'm just saying that clock is going too fast. I need more time. All right. I need an apostolic 15. Amen. John 7, 37 through 44. I'm going to read this. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, whoever is persuaded, whoever is convicted, as scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit. Those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. But now we're beyond that point. The Spirit has been given. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is a prophet." Others said, "He is a Messiah." Still others asked, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants, from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided about Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid their hand on him. Don't be divided about who Jesus is. Settle in your heart, Jesus. There's an Israelite movement that wants to classify a whole, amen, sect of people. And now we're the chosen people. I'm so tired of the chosen people. Amen. You're chosen in the Holy Land. You're chosen because you're born of this tribe and all that. Amen. We're all chosen. If you accept Jesus Christ, you're part of the chosen ones. I took my wife out on Friday, amen, and there's this brother right there, he waving a pot of incense, got smoke all on the sidewalk. Why, another brother said, "Come on and read that Psalms 103, and it's loud, he loud. And he said, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." "What you say, brother?" "Oh, that's within me." "Say it again." I'm like, what kind of craziness is this? First, I'm not going to, amen, Jesus not call me to be on the sidewalk slinging smoke all on the sidewalk. I'm not going to change my name. And my wife is not going to cover up. Amen. All of a sudden, I'm John Stewart. I come up in here. I'm a Hamad Shabikapaya and all that crazy. But I'm not, what's that crazy? Salvation in Christ is so much simpler. It is not Jew nor Greek. It's not, amen. It is all of us in Christ. Amen. And let the smoke be the glory of God. Not no pot of incense. It's not by works, it's by faith. And that's why Christians, we've got to step forward, man, and demonstrate the power of God in word and in action. In word and in action. Stop being shy, scared, timid. But be convicted and be persuaded that Jesus is everything he says he is. And don't let the enemy get you caught up, amen, in the virgin birth. Oh, how can Jesus be born a virgin? Do you know that there literally are animals? Google this. There are animals that don't need male-female relationship that actually can produce themselves. That in there are animals that are actually in themselves, could actually give birth in themselves. And if the Word of God is a seed of God, and the Word of God is alive and powerful, and the Word of God is life-giving, why couldn't God take his seed of his Word and put it in the womb of a woman? Amen. To me, that make more sense than spinning pots of smoke. I said, baby, let's go on across the street because in case there's demons in that smoke. I'm not walking through that smoke. Amen. I might come out Mufasa or somebody. I said, let's walk across the street. Have mercy. Mark 9:14. It's easy to, you know, it's so easy to believe, if you really put things in perspective, it's easy to believe for healing and deliverance and miracles. You know why? Because if God can save me and God can save you from 20 or 30 or whatever years of foolishness, and he can take your life and remove your sin and make you a new creation and break the habits off your life, we got testimonies in this room right now of people have been delivered from crack, and God can deliver you and set you free. Amen. Amen. Why can't he just heal you too? If he can wash 20 years of sin and 30 years of wretchedness, surely he can heal and deliver you. All right. Last section of verses here. Mark 9. They get some security messing with them people. Mark 9:14. Amen. I'm going to do a study on it. We're going to do a coffee and conversation on this. Amen. Because as a people, black people, we're looking for something to identify with so strongly that we're buying into stuff that does nothing but subjugate us again. Amen. It separates us again. Amen. You know? Before you know it, have a Marcus Garvey moving back to Africa. I mean, I ain't go back to Africa. Go to Kenya. I got a nephew just went to Kenya. It's a beautiful place. Amen. They doing things over there. You ain't going over there helping them. They already got help. You better get your identity. Get your identity. Know who you are, but know who you are in Jesus. Amen. All right, Mark 9:14. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son, who possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever he seizes him, he throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked the disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving, you are not persuaded nor convicted, Jesus saying. And what I've taught you and what I've demonstrated, what I've walked out before you, Jesus replied, even this generation of people, the people that will watch from afar, the people that will watch to trap them, you are an unbelieving generation, Jesus replied. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has this been like this? Now notice, the boy is on the ground, foaming at the mouth. Jesus turned to him and said, how long he been like this? He's assessing the case. All right? And from childhood, Father answered, and he often thrown him into it has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. It's been assigned against his life. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. Listen, healing and deliverance is a mercy gift. People don't have to earn it. It is a demonstration of God's mercy. Don't think because when a person got to fast for 30 days, in this case, he might have been dead. Or a person got to do something to earn it. It's a sign of God's love for us. Amen. If you can, and Jesus said, everything, everything is possible for one who believes. Everything, all things are possible for one who believes. Somebody say, everything is possible for the one who believes, including me. So all things are possible. I like the Message Bible. Let me just go to the Message Bible before I finish that. Jesus said in the Message version of verse 23, he said, Jesus said, if there are no ifs among believers, anything can happen. There are no ifs among believers, anything can happen. Let's read it together. There are no ifs among believers. Anything can happen. One more time. There are no ifs among believers. Anything can happen. You can start playing. There are no what? Ifs. Among believers. What? Anything. There are no ifs among believers. Why? There are no ifs. Come on, read it all. Among believers. How many believers we have here? There are no ifs. There are no ifs. Because I'm a believer, anything can happen. Anything can happen. I said anything could happen. Anything could happen. There are no ifs if God would do it. I'm persuaded there are no ifs. There are no ifs. There are no ifs. I got a few more verses, but I just want this to sink in. There are no ifs among believers. And I'm a believer. Anything can happen. Lift your hands for a moment. Just worship him on that. Let's just solidify that word in our spirit. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. That's it. Just yes, botishtana, mandeshta bandreste. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. Come on, lift your faith. Let your faith arise for that anything, that thing that seemed that this was such a egregious situation to this father, and they're arguing and they're just debating, and I know they were debating on whether this guy would ever get better. When he saw Jesus, he saw faith. Let me tell you what's happening, people of God. When people see you coming, they're going to see faith. When people see you coming, they're going to see the sons of God. And the son is not gender, it's position. When they see you coming, they're going to see hope, because they're going to see an individual that carries the anointing on their life that anything can happen. You're going to be an anything can happen solution. You're going to be an anything can happen solution. And that's why the Lord says, I need to change your skin. And the Lord says, I cause you to step into new levels of faith and new levels of expectation. The Lord says, I cause even an intolerance to come inside of you that will not settle for the truth or even the lie that's disguised as a truth that the enemy would bring. But the Lord says, I release my word to you so that you will step forward as a believer. Not just one that hangs and hears and the word is immediately taken away. But the Lord says, the one that would manifest my word in the earth. And the one that will be a portal for what I have in heaven. to be manifested on the earth. And I even see that there are storehouses of healing, and there are storehouses full of deliverance, and there are storehouses of miracles. And it's just a room stocked with signs and wonders. And now, and the Spirit of God's bringing this back to me. I did an event for a very large nonprofit on Thursday. And they had this event at a person, I know the family because I do a lot of work for them. They own a dealership, but they also own a warehouse that they store their cars in. And because of the strike at GM, they had all these old cars brought in. But because of the strike in GM, there's a backlog of parts that were ordered expecting to be assembled, but they weren't assembled. So it kind of affected the event because there was an overflow of parts that GM asked the dealership to help store. And they were taking up slots. And as I was releasing that word, the Lord brought that back to me. And that's how the Lord says miracles and deliverances look in his kingdom. Because of people, there's been a strike of faith and a strike of believing. And man have leaned into their own wisdom, says the Spirit of God, and not my word. And man have leaned into their own devices and their own power and their own might, and not my promises, said the Lord. But I'm looking to unload the backlog of healings and miracles. But I'm looking for a people that will be a portal for the miracles, to be a portal for the healing, to be a portal for the deliverances that I have for the earth. To empty the supply, the abundant supply, to be that one that would bring my healing and deliverance and miracles in the earth. So do not abandon your faith. And do not resist believing. But the Lord says, tap into a new level of belief and a new level of faith. And empty out the storehouses of healings and breakthroughs and deliverances that I have for the earth, says the Spirit of the living God. If you receive that, just lift your hands for a moment, Father. Let table shembrande, let barriers and walls that has been around our faith, Lord, let them come down in the name of Jesus. Where we have developed patterns of leaning to our own understanding and leaning to our own wisdom, let those be brought down in the name of Jesus. Father, cause your people to see themselves in you. You and us, we are in you. In the name of Jesus, we get back to the work of faith. We get back to engaging faith. We get back to aligning ourselves with your faith and the word of God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Well, if you receive that, put your hands together for Jesus. Oh! Oh! Oh, hallelujah. I got to finish this verse and this. When he saw the crowd running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. That's verse 25. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. And after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not drive him out? He replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. And I want you to put the next verse up. I want to read past this. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were. Next. because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered to the hands of men. And they will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask about it. Next, they came to Capernaum when he was in the house. He asked them, what were you arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. They had this continual thing about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. Go to the next verse. And go to the next verse. Yes, go to the next verse. All right, next verse. I'm looking for something. Let me just get, I want to finish with this verse. Just give me a second. I want to finish this here. 7. Hallelujah. How many receiving something? And it's going to be a lot of scriptures in this series because I want you to really, really take this word and meditate this word. And as we develop our faith project next month, we'll have booklets and writings. You know, you can develop your own booklet. Amen. You know what? It's in I see it now. All right. This is John 14. This is my last close. 14:9. Jesus answered, don't you know, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. That's John 14. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father. See this connection? And the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Thank you for bringing that up. The works themselves. Some people are not going to believe what you say unless you're authenticated with the power of God. Verily, verily, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even what? Greater things than these, because I am going to the Father and will do whatever you ask. Somebody say whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now continue the verses really quick. Amen. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's go. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. So I'm leaving, but I'm gonna make an investment in you so you're not alone. I'm going to send an advocate to help you and to be with you forever. I will not leave you as orphans without a father. I will come to you. Now, how am I going to come to you? Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, what he's just been saying in other verses, and you are in me. Now, he just added you to the equation. Before, he was saying the Father's in me and I'm in the Father. But now he says, I'm going to send you an advocate and you are in me and I'm in you. So now you are a part of this equation. And what's my Father's, Jesus says, is mine. And Jesus says, what is mine is yours. Because the Father's in me, I'm in the Father, now you in me, so you're in the Father. Yes. Somebody ought to say glory. Yes. All right, go to the next verse. I just need 30 more minutes, but I won't take it. Whoever has my commands and keeps them, is the one who loves me, and the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love them and show myself to them. Next verse. Amen. We'll stop there. God's going to show himself to you. He's partnering with you. He's partnering with every believer. He's partnering with every believer in Jesus' name. He's partnering with every believer. He's partnering with me. I'm not alone. He'll never leave me. So as we go through this series, you go through your week, look for somebody who needs Jesus. Amen. Look for somebody with a hard case. Search them out. Don't be bashful. Amen. Don't be going into it like, what if? No, go into it. I'm a believer, man. I'm going to give them the word and give them power. Because that's what Jesus said I can do. He said these signs are going to work side by side with me in Jesus' name. I want to, over our live stream and the people here, we're going to minister to maybe a couple of people here. But over live stream, I want you to know that Jesus is the Lord of your life. And if he's not the Lord of your life, you could just receive him. Simply say, Lord Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I give my life to you. I surrender to you. Teach me your ways. And there's a number on the screen, amen, that you can connect with in Jesus' name. Also, amen, we're going to pray, and we're going to pray over the house and even a connected community. We appreciate everyone that sows. We appreciate everyone that supports this ministry.